So this morning I want to talk to you about an interesting subject, and I want you to read with me here in Joshua chapter 1. It says, you can open your Bibles with me if you want to. That's scripture on the board. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Have I not commanded you, Joshua? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now guys, here we have an amazing piece of scripture, amen, with amazing promises. Okay, and we can spend on the scripture the whole year. We can look at all the different instructions and blessings and promises God has loaded in this few verses for us. It's just mind-boggling, okay? That God is saying to us, listen here, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Keep your eyes focused on me and the word I've given Moses, and run with this, okay? But I want to just give us a tip here. Whenever you read the Bible and you see God repeating things in the word, it's a time for you to say, okay, I'm going to stop. Okay, because whenever God repeats something in Scripture, He is very serious about what He's saying. Okay? And He wants you to stop and to pay attention and to ask Him questions. God, why are you saying this? And that is what I've been doing the last few weeks as God has been speaking to me about being strong and courageous. And we all know the Scripture. It's an old Bible devotion Scripture. It's a feel-good message, in a certain way, which God is giving Joshua here. But if you understand the context which God has spoken to Joshua, it's amazing. And I think it's applicable for us today, what God wants to do in our lives, as He's been saying to us, listen here, you're strong started, but don't lose your faith. Don't become weak now. God is saying to us, remain strong in the Lord and pursue Him even more and even further. Okay, so this morning, I want to share with you about being a Christian that is full of courage. Okay, and especially the power of courage. And as I was meditating on this word, funny enough, the Lord brought to my memory, and I don't know if who of you could remember this, but the Lord brought to my memory a word He gave to Andries, a few years ago, I'm not sure when, but it was a word for the church in Hermanus, okay? And I want to read you the word. I made it my own, but the word was something like this. It says that the church has gotten hurt in the past, and it is standing in the trenches, and it's just holding the line. Who of you remember that word? A few of the leaders. I'm so glad the leaders got that word. Okay, so the church is in the past has been struggling. It is hurt. It's taken some shots, you know, like a good boxer. It took the hits on the chin. And now it's just standing in the trenches, and it's just holding the line, okay? But what I believe God is saying to us, God is saying to you, but now in this time, He wants to do a new thing. Okay, and the word was, God wants to no longer just us. God doesn't want us to defend the line anymore, but He wants us to take up an offensive position and to start pushing back the line. Okay, and to destroy the enemy and to bring the kingdom of God here in Hermanus. That was the word in a nutshell. So the bottom line is, God doesn't want us to have a defensive position anymore. He wants us to have an offensive attack upon the enemy and bring and make the kingdom of God come in Hermanus. Okay, and that's why we are here. That's why we're trusting God to just move and take us further with you and to see the lost come to Christ, okay? And as I was meditating upon this word, God, now, what did you say to Andries, and why did you say it? And then courage came into my mind. The Lord spoke to me, I felt very clearly, and He said to me the following words. He said, "Yaku, speak to my children about courage, because many of them are hiding. Many of them are hiding like Gideon out of fear for the enemy. But tell my people, I've not called them to be afraid. I haven't called my people you to hide, but I've called you to arise like Joshua in courage. Because the world out there is waiting for us. The playing ground out there is ready for us to go and display the greatness of our God. God is asking us, my kids, don't be afraid. Don't hide any longer. Arise with courage like Joshua did in Joshua chapter 1, because the playing field and the world is ready and is waiting for us. So that's the bottom line of what I want to say this morning. That's the reason I want to share this morning. And And through thinking through this and praying about, Lord, so now we mustn't be afraid. We must just trust you and we must walk in courage. I realized something amazing. I realized that we as a church are never going to accomplish God's will for our lives if we don't have courage in our lives. Because the enemy is going to throw at us fear the whole time to keep us hiding, to keep us afraid, to keep us stand back, to keep us silent. And I think in the day and age where we live, the church can no longer be silent. If you look at America and what's going on where they declared gay marriage as legal in the whole states, it is a sobering day for us as a church. We cannot but keep silent. We must speak. We must become courageous again, like Joshua stand there and he faced the promised land and said, God, I must lead the people, but you must be with me, God. I need courage, God. And God said, my son, I'm with you. You can do it. So I realized that we're never going to accomplish. You're never going to accomplish anything for God if there's not courage in your heart. Because the enemy wants to throw fear at us. He wants to keep you silent. He wants to keep you hiding away in disgrace. But the good news this morning is Paul said that God hasn't given a spirit of fear, amen, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And I love the Amplified. It says, for God will not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or craven or cringing or fawning fear, but of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Guys, timidity and cowardice is the opposite of courage. It's the opposite of courage. And for us to walk in courage, we need to overcome fear. Because fear is not our inheritance. That's not God's plan for your life. Fear is a lie, okay? And if you're going to believe the lie, it's going to keep you in hiding. It's going to keep you silent. It's going to keep you away from the promises of God for your life. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of taking risk. You need to be able to go over your cheek line and say, okay, Lord, here's the line where I'm very afraid. But I'm going to dare. I'm going to be brave enough to step out of it. And when you do that, the supernatural grace of God kicks in. And it will carry you to do what God has called you to do. But be strong and courageous, my church. Don't hide anymore. Fear is a lie. Fear is not your inheritance. Amen? Guys, courage, on the other hand, means, you can write this down, to be brave, to be valor, to be fearless, to be bold. To be courageous means that you are brave. We all have seen that movie, Braveheart. It's a brilliant movie to display and show us somebody, a leader that was courageous. But more than that, Joshua, a young man, taking over the baton from Moses, was also courageous. And this morning I read again an amazing piece of scripture from Joshua. And it just shows me that, you know, because he had courage in his heart, he could have done everything God has promised. And it says here in Joshua, where is it now? Joshua 24, it says here, soon after this, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at age 110. Verse 31, it says, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the leaders who lived without him, and the leaders who outlived him, those who had personally experienced all that the Lord had done for Israel. Isn't that amazing? Somebody that walked in courage and saw God do amazing through his life, and even those who walked with him, walked in courage and saw God's glory displayed upon the earth. Okay? Now, courage is defined for those wise people among us. Courage is defined as the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc. without being afraid. Courage is the inner strength that seems to emerge when we're in face of danger or seemingly impossible situations. Courage. Courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. Is that thing which you say, listen, Yaku, everything in me screams and say, no, I can't do it. But yet I can do it in Christ. Courage. So guys, I want to tell us that courage is one of the greatest needs of the church today. It's one of your greatest needs in this time and hour where we're living in. But fear is also the worst enemy of the church at the very moment. We will hear of the rumors and the sort of what the enemy is doing and where the demons are and all this. And that is all great to make us afraid of his kingdom. But God is saying, listen, be innocent of evil and excellent of what is good. Focus on me. Focus on me and embrace this courage and strength that I want to give you this morning. You see, because God's plan for us, as his plan was for Israel to go and possess the promised land, God has commissioned us in Christ to say, listen, Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, dispelling the kingdom of darkness and releasing the kingdom of God upon earth. Isn't that true? The same assignment God has given Israel and Joshua is given to us to listen, you go and inherit your promised land. But I want to tell us this morning, you cannot do that without being courageous. You need courage in your life to accomplish what God has called you to do. So it's time, church. It's time. It's time for you to arise with courage. We cannot come to church silent, sitting here, doing nothing, or being spectators. It's time for us to engage in the war. It's time for us to engage in seeking and saving the lost. The Holy Spirit is ready. He's ready to touch lives. I tell you, I come to church nowadays so expecting for God to heal somebody, for God to save somebody. God is alive, amen? This is not a joke. This is not a game we are playing. Lives are at stake here. Maybe you this morning here and you don't know Jesus. That's why we are here, to introduce you to the Savior of the world. Amen? It's either light or darkness. It's either heaven or hell. That's it. The moment we're playing with the gray areas in life, it becomes dangerous. There are troubled waters, and ek is bang daarvoor. Now throughout the Bible, and you've read the Bible, we see amazing stories of men and women who walked in courage. We look at Moses, who faced off with Pharaoh. That is amazing courage. We look at Esther. Esther that had to go to the king to save a people. An amazing woman of God. We look at David fighting with Goliath. Awesome example of courage. We see Jesus facing the religious opposition of his day, but yet going to the cross with courage to die for us so we can have life and life in abundance. We see his own apostles facing the Sanhedrin and jailing them and telling, listen, you cannot preach the gospel anymore. But they said, listen, we will rather obey God than you. We will go on preaching the gospel. Courage. In the face of difficulty, we will stand for the cause of Christ. Courage. The early church was birthed in Christ. Jesus showed us Christ. Joshua was an example of Christ. Moses, David, Elijah with the Baal prophets. Courage. God is a courageous God, I mean. And He wants your people to be courageous. But this morning, I'm going to look at a funny story. Something maybe you haven't seen. I've only seen this in the last 2 weeks as I've been praying through courage. I'm going to talk to you about a young man named Jonathan and how he displayed courage in his day. We know Jonathan as a man that supported David while his father Saul became deceived, demakar, you know, he lost the kingdom, not being obedient, doing his own thing, rebelled, and all this and all that. We see Jonathan as a guy that runs to David to help him, support him, but there's a part of Jonathan's life which I've only seen in the last 2-3 weeks which like blows my mind away. I want you to read with me here and open your Bibles with me in 1 Samuel chapter 14. One day, Jonathan and the son of Saul said to the young man who carried his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah, around the pomegranate tree of Migron. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, let's go across to the outpost of those pagans. Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. So his armor bearer said to him, do what you think is best. I am with you completely, whatever you decide. Guys, here we've got an amazing and a bizarre story. You will see later on, it's a whoa story. But the context here is that there was once again war between the Philistines and Israel. And that was this legacy and the story of King Saul. Whenever he lived, he always had war between him and the Philistines. But when King David reigned and ruled, he had peace. Amazing difference. But anyway, instead of fighting with the Philistines, the story here goes that, listen here, David and his 600 men are taking a vacation. They are taking a nap. They're taking a break from war, and they're having a great time under a pomegranate tree. But Jonathan, on the other hand, was a different kind of guy. Jonathan was a man of faith. Jonathan had confidence that God would save them by many or by few. He wasn't out with his dad chilling and having a break But he was a man that engaged in what God's heart was, to destroy the nations because we need to inherit this promised land. He was a man of faith. And he said to his army, listen here, my dad is busy there, but let me and you go for a walk. And as he was walking, he's looking over this great valley, and he sees up there, listen here, there's the Philistines. And he said to his army, brother, listen here, we can take them. Now have in mind that it's only him and his servant. There are only two guys taking on a whole army. And you see, that is what faith does. That is what faith does. Faith changes the way we see our circumstances. Faith is the thing that we can say, listen, even though there's a whole army that is against us, we can say the odds is with us because God is with us. Faith changes the way we see things. And for me, this is an amazing story because it just displays the character and the heart that God is longing for His church today to have. Listen here, even though we have a lot of enemies against us, we can say, listen here, guys, the odds are with me because God is with me. Let's go. Isn't this amazing courage? It reminds me of Jesus and what he's done for us. Being born by Mary, born into this hostile world where the demons from day one want to kill him, and you know, setting up in the wilderness, and he just wanted, and they're taking with all the questions and all the testing questions, all the Pharisees, but yet he stayed focused. I'm going to do what my dad has sent me to do, to pay the ransom for everybody to be free and know me. Amen. What a beautiful story. Then verse 8, it says, further on, it says, then Jonathan said, very well, we will cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. Do you guys get this? There's an army on a big mountain. Here are two little guys. Listen here, we're going to go out and we're going to show ourselves to them. It's like, if there's any snipers, ping, 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 ping. It's like picnic for them, eh? So we're going to show ourselves to them. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go, for the Lord has given them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. Amazing, guys. And here we see Jonathan putting out a fleece before God. He says, listen here, we're going to go out there. We're going to not hide anymore. We're going to go out there. We're going to show ourselves clearly for these people. We're going to go, and if they tell us, listen, you wait there, don't come up, we know we're going to wait. But if they say, no, come up here, we want to have a discussion, or we want to talk to you, then we know, oh, my bearer servant, we want to know, God has delivered them into our hands. Amazing. And what do you think was wrong with this plan? Guys, everything. This was the worst military strategy ever known to mankind. Think about this. Think about this, you're hiding and now you're jumping and say, la-da, here I am. Woo-hoo-hoo. And if you say, come to me, I'm safe, but they're not, and I'm pot. You know, and I fall over and I die. It's a crazy, bizarre story. Why? Because the Philistines are up in the mountains, and when you in those days at position of the mountains, it was easy for you to fight people down in the valley. The victory was in a way secured when you had the mountains. So the Philistine army was very clever. And many times the enemy in our day are very clever. He's got the strategic positions. But God says, don't hide anymore, my church. I will give you a plan to overcome them. Amen? I will give you a plan to overcome them. So here we see Joshua and his servant once again with all the odds against them. They not only had to climb up the mountain on their hands and feet, they were in the open, plain for all of the army of Israel to see them and to just take them out. So all the odds in the world were against them. But even then, guys, listen to this. Jonathan said, if they invite us up, we know that God has given us the victory. Amazing courage. And you see, church, supernatural courage is sometimes doing the craziest things in this world which our minds has never even thinking of doing. Courage is the thing that you will never think of, but it's the weirdest thing. But if you do it, it displays great power. And I'm going to show you right now what happened in this story. For me, the story is kind of like what Elijah did with the Baal prophets. He said, listen here, you bring all your offering, and we see what it's doing. And they prayed, and nothing happened. God said, listen here, let's make this fun. Let's make the challenge even bigger. Let's ask God to put fire on the altar. But let's be crazy. Let's pour water on it too, just to make it impossible. And what happened? The God of Esau proved himself God. Isn't it amazing? The odds were so against Elijah. He said, but let's make it even impossible. Let's throw water on it. And God came and God did the miraculous. And guys, I tell you, God loves it to put us in impossible situations. Because when he gets it, but because when we get out of it, it's only supernatural and it's only God. Amen? So take courage this morning. If you feel in a place of impossibility, God has got a plan to get you out of it. Maybe your bank account is so in debt, but God has got a plan to get you out of it. Amen? Trust him. Show a bit of courage. God is with us. Amen? Powerful, powerful stuff. Then verse 11 says, so when the Philistines saw they coming up, they shouted, hey, guys, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. They're crazy. Here they come. Let's take them off one by one. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, listen there, we've got them. Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. What a weird story. I tell you, one day I'm going to rent this DVD in heaven because I want to see this action taking place. It's a crazy story. Yeah, what Jonathan says is, must happen, it happens as he prophesies it. And this year, God is giving, can you believe it? God is giving them to us. Follow me. And they climb and they go. And the next moment, the people just fell before them like dominoes. And the armor bearer goes, yeah, it's a party, and he slaughters everybody. I must rent this DVD. It's going to be crazy. Hollywood, se gai. And guys, here we see something. Jonathan climbs up. He takes the courage. And what happens then? The power of God falls on the people and they collapse. And his armor bearer takes Jonathan's sword and he just kills them. Left, right, and center. Strange, eh? Let's read on. Verse 14, it says, they killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered over about half an acre. Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistine army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outposts and the raiding parties. And just then, an earthquake struck, and everyone was terrified. Wow, it's glorious. And what happens here, guys, is that God was so pleased with Jonathan and his servants' display of courage to bring the Philistine army to their knees, that he intervened by setting an earthquake to hit the whole place. Courage moves the heart of God. Courage, heaven can't resist when we display courage. It will take out the enemies on our behalf. God will intervene. And God intervened here by sending an earthquake. Bah! And the whole outpost and the raiding party is far away, sore and hurt. But something is going on. It's powerful, man. It's powerful. You see, Jonathan's courage inspired his servant to be courageous. He said, listen here, David, whatever is in your heart, oh, Jonathan, whatever is your heart, let's go and do that. Jonathan's courage spilled over into his servant's courage. They came up against the enemies in a most ridiculous way, in the most simplest way of man impossible to go out and show yourself plainly. It's a stupid plan. But yet God went before them and wiped out the enemies, and they filled the whole camp with terror for only two people. God filled the hearts of the enemies with terror for only two people, Jonathan and his servant. It's a crazy story. The whole army was afraid of two little guys coming up, walking up the mountain. Weird. But the thing I want to put your focus on this morning is that if we and you are willing to be brave enough for the cause of Christ in the midst of difficult circumstances, then courage has the power to bring about great breakthrough in your life and in mine. If you are willing to be brave enough for the cause of Christ in the midst of difficult circumstances, and I don't know what you are facing, but many of us are facing horrible situations. Many of us, it's like it's a dark day ahead. The future has got no hope. And if you're willing to be brave enough, then courage has the power to bring great breakthrough to your life and to others, as Jonathan and his servant displayed here for the whole of Israel. while his father was having a party with his 600 men, supposing that they were supposed to fight, his son showed him the example of what a king should be. Courageous, taking the lead, taking the enemy out. Amen? Then I want to focus your attention to verse 21. It says something amazing about courage. It says, now the Hebrews who've been with the Philistines before that time and had gone up with them into the camp, even they also turned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Now we see something strange here. We see here that there were Hebrews living among the Philistines. Who were these Hebrews? These Hebrews were backsliders. They were people who turned away from God. They were people who turned away from the church. They were people who turned away from Israel. And they've taken up a new identity with the Philistines. They've been living with the Philistines. They've been doing business with the Philistines. They've been talking like the Philistines. They had the same lifestyle as the Philistines. Everything about these Hebrew guys were like the Philistines. But I tell you, when one person stood up in courage, these Hebrews couldn't find it possible to sit still in the enemy's camp. Look there with me. It says, now these Hebrews who've been with the Philistines, even they also turned to be with the Israelites when Saul and Jonathan. When they saw the greatness of God displayed in two young men, they said, listen here, who are we? And they turned around and they fought against the very people they lived with, the Philistines. You see, guys, there's something about courage that we must grasp this morning. Courage will rattle the cage of people's lives when they hear about the rumors and the stories of how great our God is. For example, you can go to any bar in town here and you will find that place filled with people that used to walk with God. You can go to any pub here. It's filled with people that used to walk with God. But I tell you, your and my courage has the power to shake them at the very core so that they can wake up out of a drug deal, so they can wake up out of some horrible activities and bring them to a place where they realize that I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be with the children of God. The Hebrews living among the Philistines. The backsliders who took up a new identity. Your courage can rattle their cage, you bring them about to their senses so they can start following Jesus again. Amen? You see, it wasn't a powerful sermon or a door-to-door evangelism that got these Hebrews free. No, it was the rumor of courage of these of two Israel boys that set them free. Do you see this? Are you awake? Hello? Very quiet here. So guys, the point I want to make is extreme courage will flush out the backsliders among us. Your courage will flush out backsliders at your work. Your courage will flush out backsliders, even maybe it's your children. It will flush them out. It'll bring them to a place where they can understand and see God. Because guys, why? Backsliders are only looking for something worth to follow. They are looking for the authentic. Because they hate our religion. They hate churchianity. They hate our hypocrisy. And that's why they're living with the pagans. That's why they're living with the Philistines. They're looking for the authentic. And the authentic is never clearly displayed when one person stands up and says, yeah, I'm going to stand for God and display His power. That's why, guys, I'm praying that the power of God will return to us. The world needs to see that God is still powerful. The backsliders will come in here and they will get saved one by one. Because our courage and God's power will set them free. Amen? So next time, if you feel afraid and you want to hide, or if you just want to give up and say, Yaku, I'm tired. What Tracy has spoken about, you know, you started strong in the Lord with prophetic words and now your energy is sapped and there's nothing left. I want to ask you, don't give up. Because remember that your courage is setting other people free. Don't give up. Rather muster all the strength you can get. So listen here, remember, God, I'm going to continue in your strength. Because your act of courage causes a ripple effect in people's lives to draw them back to those who have fallen away from God. God loves the backslide, amen? There were people that used to walk with Him, and He's calling them back to your and my life and the courage that we display, amen? The second thing I want to just touch on courage here is seen here in verse 22. It goes on, it says, likewise, when all the men of Israel who were hiding themselves in the hill country of Ephraim, heard the Philistines were fleeing. They too heard hard after them, followed hard after them in battle. Likewise, with the men in Israel who had hidden themselves in the hill country, heard the Philistines were fleeing. They too followed hard after them in battle. Now, who are these? Who is these people in Ephraim that was hiding? They are the people, guys, who are sitting in church and who is doing nothing. They're hiding. You see, it's people that's hiding out in the crowd. And I want to tell you, it's easy for you to hide in a big church like ours. You duck and you dive. You see, it's people who are just going through the motions but have no impact. It's people who have actually backslidden in heart and have no interest in what God is saying or doing among us. They've been hiding in the mountains, far away from the army. Now, many of us, and I myself, has been in this place where we've grown to a place, as Tracy said, our hearts has grown cold. And we've become indifferent to what God is saying and doing, and we just don't care. My life is too busy. My job is too hectic. The kids are too naughty. Our hearts grown cold. But I tell you what, God in His mercy needs to rescue us and grab us from that place and bring us back into the army of God. Like He's done with His people hiding. They turn around and they start fighting the guys they were hiding from. They were fighting with Jonathan and with Saul. Isn't that powerful? You see, your act of courage not only sends ripple effects into the enemy's camp to shake loose those who belong to God, but it also brings out those who are hiding amongst us. And God said to me, Yaku, give the people courage because I don't want them to hide any longer. Your courage is sending out a ripple effect to bring about those who are hiding among us. Those who are hiding among us are those who have got no first love for God. They've got no fire for God. They've got no passion for God. They've got they will not sacrifice for God. They have no courage of God. But your courage will bring them out, will shake them loose and bring them out of the place of apathy and into the place of God's kingdom. And guys, God has got a plan for every one of us in His house, in His church. There's no place for a spectator or somebody to hide and be onlooker. God has got a place for you. He's made you with amazing gifts and talents. And He's longing for us to take hands and to become the body of Christ, to be joined together. I told the second year of the Bible school, God wants us to be joined together. Joined is a strategic connection place. God wants two people to come together in a strategic way to make the kingdom of God come in a community. And I see a lot of members here of the body of God. You see, many of us are disjointed and we don't want to be joined together, and therefore the body of God is ineffective, is weak. But God wants us to come together, to be knit together, joined in marriage, so we can be functioning as the body of Christ in this community. Amen? So what a picture we have here of Jonathan. Not only setting free the backsliders, but setting free those who are hiding amongst us. The power of courage, guys. To call people out of complacency and into their destiny. Your courage will call people out of complacency and into their destiny. Amen? Then the last point I want to make here is what I realize is for us to walk in the same courage as Jonathan displayed, and as David displayed, and as Josh displayed, we need the foundation of one thing. Because it's great to say these things, but Lord, Yaku, how does it work? There must be something settled in our hearts before we can walk in courage. And it's found you in Joshua. We read Joshua 1 verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, Joshua. Church, shofar and hermanus. Nobody is able to stand before you. Just as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So guys, for us to walk in courage, and this is the encouragement this morning, for us to walk in courage, the first and foremost thing we need to know is that God is with you. That God is with you and He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can be in the deepest pit. You can be in the darkest moment. God is there with you. I remember when they were pushing me 2 years ago into the ICU, into the theater. I had to have an emergency operation. My life was hanging on a thread. The words that God spoke to me in my bed as they pushed me into the theater, was, Yaku, don't be afraid. I'm with you. And I cried and I cried and I cried. Yeah, God, I feel like I'm losing my life. But here you're saying to Yaku, don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm with you, Yaku. That to us, guys, that gives us courage. To know that God is with us. Because we need to know, guys, that our strength and our courage flows directly from our awareness of God's presence amongst us. And that's what God said. He said here to Joshua, Joshua, my boy, there's the promised land. You can do it. Be strong. Why, Joshua? Because I'm the Lord your God is with you, Joshua, wherever you go. You've seen how I've been with Moses. You've been the junior. You sat at the tent of meeting when Moses was praying. You saw me through Moses. But Joshua, now you're the man. You saw my faithfulness, and therefore I will be faithful through you again. I will be with you. And guys, God's presence is what will inspire courage in us to do the impossible. God's presence, God's promise of Him being with us will inspire courage in me to say, Yaku, I can do the impossible. Amen? And that's what caused Jonathan, that's what caused Joshua to do the impossible. Their absolute conviction that God is with us and therefore nothing is impossible for me. And I want us to hear God's heart this morning. I want you to make a resolution in your heart. Say, God, you are with me no matter what I go through. You see, I've realized that in the times when God doesn't speak to us, He's many times doing the most significant work in our lives. Just think about the Garden of Eden. Just think about the creation story. There's so many things God's listening, He made this, He made this, He made that. But there are many moments in Genesis where God says nothing. But in those moments, He created the most amazing things. He brought things together. It's powerful that God works in the silence of our lives as well. And in those moments, God wants you to be standing on the rock that I am with you, Yaku. I'm with you, Stephen. I'm with you. And that's what David could say that for you. David said in Psalm 18, he said, my God turns my darkness into light. With you, I can attack a line of soldiers. With my God, I can scale any wall. That was David's resolution. And guys, our level of courage determines what we'll be able to accomplish for God. And God is calling us as a church to push the line again. God wants us to become on the offensive. Not to hide. But for us to hide, we must deal with the lie of fear in our midst. And we must replace it with the truth that God is with me, therefore I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want to conclude. Can the band maybe come up, the musicians and the singers? And I want to just end off by reminding us, guys, that your act of courage causes the enemy. Listen to this. Your act of courage is causing the enemy to lose his grip on people's lives. He has been deceiving many of your friends. He's been deceiving many of your mothers and fathers and children. But your act of courage is taking his grip off their lives. And it will send the ripple effect into the enemy's camp and they will be delivered and see the light of Christ. But your act of courage is needed. You see, it's like a ball that you try to push underwater. The ball keeps on popping up the whole time. Amen? And that's the same for people that God has chosen. They cannot stay under the devil's control anymore. They need to come up. But that release is necessary, and that's your act of courage God is wanting you to do today. So whatever it is, remember, be strong and courageous. And secondly, remember, your act of courage will call people out of complacency and into their destiny. Many of us are hiding. Many of your friends are hiding, but God has said, the time to hide is over. The time to push the line has come. My bride is strong. My bride is victorious. Amen? And thirdly, most important, I want you to know that God is with you. Wherever you go this week, whatever you do this week, whatever you face this week, know that the lover of your soul is with you. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's got a plan for every circumstance that you face. He told Jonathan, go up. If they tell you to come, I've given you into your hand. And Jonathan showed courage by trusting God's word and stepping out into the open where everybody could see him. He could have been made a fool by God. But did God do it? He backed his word. He backed his son, and he intervened by putting out the earthquake, and the whole army of the Philistines fell under the power of God. And God wants to do the same in your life. God is not a man that he should lie. He will not lie. He will fulfill His word in your life. So come on, church. Come on. Let's rise with courage. Amen? Let's rise with courage. And say no to fear, because courage is our God-given inheritance as children of the living God. Amen? And it's the key for us to do great things with God. Joshua got it. David got it. Elisha got it. Jesus got it. Jesus gave it to His church. The key of courage. To push back the lines of the enemy. So I'm excited about God, what God's going to do through us as we show great exploits of courage in Hermanus. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your heart for us, that You have never left us, Lord, nor forsaken us. That You are the lover of our souls, God. Lord, that You have got a plan for every circumstance of our lives. Father, I thank You that when I was on that hospital bed, You comforted me by telling me, Jacob, do not be afraid, but know that I'm with You. And God, that carried me, Lord, for so many months, for so many years now. And Father, I want to pray that You'll give Your church the same, God, courage, Lord, from the place where they know that You are for them. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, Lord, that the new army, that the army of Joshua will arise from our midst, Lord. People will take up this morning the posture of courage. It will stand and say, no matter what difficulty I'm facing, my God is with me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Father, I pray for strength in Your people. I pray for hope restored in Your people, God. And I pray, Lord God, as Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, God. So I pray that Your church will become strong in the Lord again and the power of His might. Fill us with strength, Father. Fill us. And this morning, I want you just to keep the eyes closed. I want you to do something prophetic. If you want me just to pray courage into your life, I want you to stand. If you need courage this morning, just show God, Lord, this is me. My wheels come off. I'm weary, I'm tired, I don't have hope for the future. And God just wants to just touch you this morning. God, I want to thank You for these people standing. You know their circumstances. You know their praise. You hear their praise, God. You see their faith. And Father God, I pray that in this time that You will just, I just release courage over them, God. I release strength over them. I release new hope, new life, God. Father, I speak new rivers of Your provision to break forth in their lives, God. I declare, Lord God, Lord, that the drought season, that the desert will turn into a river, Lord God, in Jesus' name. God, I declare that supernatural answers will come to situations they face. In Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, as You've done for Joshua, so I ask, do for these people of Yours. As you took care of Elijah with the prophets, so do. So God, so back Your word in their lives, Lord, as they are standing and they are trusting You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, before I dismiss the service, I want to just to open up the altar call here. And I want to just, God wants to touch a few people this morning. And so I'm going to ask, I've asked a few people to come forward with a word of knowledge. And I want to just, we want to have some coffee, but we also want to minister to a few people. And if you want me to pray for you in this area of courage, then I want to pray with you. But I felt in my heart specifically, there's somebody here that are struggling with intense anxiety. And you, as a result of that, you can't sleep. You struggle to fall asleep, and then in the night you awake, and then you stay awake. God wants this morning to touch you by setting you free of fear and giving you courage. To be able to go to bed with courage and saying, Lord, I'm going to rest in Your peace, and I'm going to sleep through. If that's you, is that person here? There's one or two people, three, four, five people. When we're done, we can please come to the front. We would love to pray with you. Okay? And then the second person I've got in my heart, can the other guys just come up if you've got a word as well? The second person is, there's somebody here with kidney stones. You've been struggling with kidney stones, and you've been for operation to remove them, but they keep on recurring. And God wants to heal you once and for all right today of kidney stones. Who is that? No kidney stones. Okay? If you're not bold enough, please come at the end. I'm just taking the risk. I'm being courageous here. Stepping out. Showing you the example out to you. If I miss it, woo-hoo, so what? And then I'm just reminding of that when I was worshiping, I got a pain in my neck. Who of you has got neck issues? Yeah. A lot of you, that's the Lord. Maybe some of you, I also see, has had an operation in your neck. Your neck is weakened. and you can't extend your neck like this or to the side. If that's you, God wants you just to set your neck free as well. Amen? Are there any words, some more words? Okay, let's hear them.
I feel the Lord is saying to somebody, he's been speaking to you in your heart about clay. I just see a lump of clay, and I want to tell you that I've got a specific word for you. So if you've been thinking about or you feel like clay, maybe you're going through a very difficult time, please, I've got a word for you.
I just heard two words, and one of them just really goes on from what Yaka's been saying. Before he was in that situation, before they were there, the enemy had come against Israel for a long time. And the word I had was despair. You've heard this, but you're saying, I've been there before, and it hasn't worked. You're bound by despair. I want to tell you, as you begin to trust God, despair will be washed away with faith. And faith leads to courage. And the second thing, as I was sitting there, I had a shoulder a few months ago that was so sore, and God just touched me in an instant, and it was healed. That I couldn't actually even wash one side of my body with it. It was so sore. And this morning, that pain just came back in waves. So I really believe there's somebody here, anybody with shoulder pains, particularly left shoulder, I just want to pray with you and just stand. I personally can testify to God's goodness and greatness as a healed. So if you need to come forward, any of those things, let's pray with you.
Amen. Guys, have a wonderful Sunday and a holiday for all the kids. There's some coffee at the back, some vitamin C.